Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, we are live. How you doing today? Praise the Lord. Are you doing good? Well, hey, this is Jeremiah Smith here, and I'm here to minister to you today during the week, get you some midweek word, praise the Lord, get it in your veins, get it in your heart so that God can bless you and prosper your spirit. So we're here to be a blessing to you today. Are you doing good today? Well, I hope so. And I'm just checking on you to make sure that you're doing wonderful this week. You know, God is good, and he's good all the time. You know, he's good when you get up. He's good when you go to bed. He's good throughout your day. He's good when you're not looking. He's a good God, and he's watching over you today. You may not think it, but he is. It doesn't matter how you feel. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel today. God is watching over you. He loves you. You know, he may even have somebody praying for you right now. He's such a good father. You know, Jesus is right now in heaven. He's praying for you. How could you lose when you got Jesus praying for you? That's powerful to think about, isn't it? Well, you know, he's praying for you that you overcome and that you fulfill your purpose. God wants you to do good, and he wants you to be successful in this life. Well, I'm so glad I get to be with you, and I'm pumped up. You can catch us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. You can catch us on Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Of course, if you're here, you know that. But you can catch us live on Podbeam, and that's our home there if you'd like to listen to us live. And if you don't want to just listen to us live, you can go on to YouTube and watch us live. We're on YouTube right now. How you doing out there, YouTube? And so we're live here for you so that we can be a blessing to you today. And we're also, you can listen to the rebroadcast. If you can't catch us live, you can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbeam, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer, Pandora. You can catch us on Amazon Music, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie. That's just some of them. But of course, we got some new ones here. We're on Podchaser. If you're out there on Podchaser, how you doing? We're on Player FM, Samsung, which Samsung, I believe it's just a new thing that Samsung is doing now, but you can catch us live on Samsung. And I listen to the rebroadcasts on there. Your convenience, you know, all around the world. We have, I don't know how many people overseas and across the nation. Well, last time I looked, it was just all across the nation and all across seas there. Just all kinds of people listening. And we're just here to encourage you. If you can't get to a good Bible-believing church, you know, tune in. I believe God will feed your spirit and encourage you today and this time and this hour. Do you believe that? I believe it. Let me get a drink here. And he wants to encourage you today. Amen. Well, you can catch the rebroadcast at those times. If you'd like to give, you can give. You can go to Jeremiah Smith Ministries there and hit the Giving tab. And you can give a couple of ways there if you'd like to give. And I believe that'll be a blessing to you. No pressure to give, but you're welcome to give if you'd like to. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived." It says, "God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap," you know. So well, if you want to reap some stuff, you got to sow some stuff, you know. And God wants you to have the things that you need to have, but you got to sow the things so he can bless you and put things into your life and make sure that you have abundance and be a blessing to you. You know, he has to have something to work with, so you want to make sure that you give him something to work with. Be led about it. Whatever God's leading you to give, make sure that you give in that place and make sure that you're giving so God can make sure and sustain you and be a blessing to your life. Well, we're here in the middle of the week getting into our Bible study. We've been talking about the too much God. Do you still believe he's a too much God? Well, yeah, I believe after today you should see it. You know, that's his character. That's who he is. You know, and some people, they think, well, he's just a mean God and you should be scared of him. Well, you know, he's a God of love and he's a God that's too much. He wants you to have too much in your life. You know, maybe you haven't got there, you know, and maybe you haven't got to the place where you can say you're at too much, but that's okay. You know, we're all working towards all the things in the Bible. You know, I can't say we've all arrived in every perfect area, but the goal is to be at the areas he's wanting us to be at, and he wants us to have too much. He's a good God, and he wants you to have more than what you need to have in your life. So, you know, we're not going to water down the word, right? No, you know, just because somebody said you can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues, we aren't going to water it down. It's still for today. You can still be baptized with the evidence of speaking tongues. Maybe someone may say you can't be saved today. Well, no, you can still be saved today. If Jesus says you can be saved, you can be saved today. If Jesus says that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If Jesus says he heals today, and he heals tomorrow, and he heals forever, well, you know, he can still heal you today by his stripes. For he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you, who was healed? You are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. So you were paid, it was paid for at the cross. He's still healing today. If you're saved, he wants to heal you right there where you're at. And he's a God of too much. He doesn't want you to just be healed. He wants you to have more than what you need to have in your life. You know, maybe you're not healed yet. Well, you know, you need to just claim his healing, believe him for his healing. And he, you know, it doesn't mean that his word has changed. He doesn't just do it for someone else. He does it for you. And he doesn't just bless someone else and not just bless you. No, God's not playing preferential treatment to anybody. He wants to make sure that you're blessed in every area of your life, and everybody that's saved, he wants them to be blessed. He doesn't just do it for one, not the other. He's thinking about us all because he's a good father. Amen. You know, I have two kids and I want them both blessed. I don't want just one blessed. I want them both blessed, you know. And you know, think about that with our God, our Father. He wants you, us all to be blessed the same way. And he wants you to make sure that you have everything you need to have in your life. Do you believe that? I believe it. Well, let's pray. We're going to go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your never-changing word, Father. We just thank you, Father. Your word's incorruptible. It hasn't changed, hasn't gotten different. It's still the same today. It's the same as it was yesterday, today, and forever, Father. And we just thank you, Father, for that today. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to get what we need to have today, Father. Everybody listening, help them to get what they need spiritually. Help them to be encouraged today, Father. And Father, we ask that you help them to get what they need, Father. Whatever that question is that they're having a question about today, help them to get that answer that they need to have today. And Father, help them to be encouraged and refreshed today. And Father, before we go, we ask that you flood us with light. Help us to see things we've never seen before. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be our teacher, our help, and our standby as we do this teaching today. And we minister to you, Father. Thank you for taking care of our families, taking care of us. Have a mercy on us, loving us, Father. We just thank you. You're too much, Father, in every area of our lives. And we just thank you, Father, for that. And we just thank you, Father, for you paying the price through your Son Jesus for us so that we can have too much. And we praise you for it. We love you for it. Thank you for Jesus. And we give you all the praise and glory today in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. He's a too much God, isn't he? He said he forgives all your sins, not just one of them. Aren't you glad he doesn't do that? He forgives just one of your sins. Oh, man, that would leave a whole bunch of them that weren't forgiven, right? Right? He forgives all your sins and all your iniquities. He's a good father, right? He keeps no record of wrongs. That's a good father. That's how we're supposed to be with each other. We're supposed to keep no record of wrongs with each other. Isn't that good? Well, you know, because we're trying to be like the Father. We're supposed to be becoming more like Jesus and becoming more like Christ every day, becoming more like Jesus every day, being formed and fashioned like him and conformed to his image. That's what he wants us to be. And so we're trying to do that on a daily basis. Is that what you're trying to do? Hey, that's what our goal is, to be more like Jesus. He wants us to be more like him. And so that's what we're working on. Praise the Lord. Go on over to John 10:10. That's our opening scripture there. I'm going to get another drink here. John 10:10. Are you familiar with John 10:10? Well, it should be highlighted, circled in your Bible. John 10:10. I'll give you just a minute to get there. John 10:10. And it says it like this. It says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. So, you know, if you have a question about why there's some stealing, some killing and destroying. There's your answer right there, isn't it? That's what the thief does. That's what the devil does. He comes to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. So anytime you can think about, you know, when you almost died in your life or something went wrong in your life, you know, or something really bad happened, well, you can give him the credit, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's come to do, you know. You ever had something bad happen? Well, you know, you don't give that credit to God. God doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. We know exactly who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I remember the guy talking about one time, you know, that the Lord not made his tires flat on his car. No, God doesn't come to make the tires flat on your car. No, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that's causing those bad things to happen, isn't he? He's the bad devil. But, you know, we have a good God, right? He's a good God. And, you know, there's a big difference in him. And he says, for he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It says that I am come, though. Who's come? God's come, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life, not just a good life, right? Not just a great life. You know, you can be blessed and have some good things and be thankful for some things, but that's not exactly what he's saying here, is it? He says he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than what you need to have. He's a too much God, right? Well, you know that word there where it says he came to give you life and it more abundantly. If you look up the word abundantly, and we're going to look that up here in the Greek here, it means perisos, and that's the Greek word for it there. And if you look there in the Strong's definitions for that, it means super abundant. You know, God wants you to have a super abundant life. That's not just an abundant life, right? That's not just a life that's abundant and in every area. He wants you to have super abundance. That sounds like Solomon, doesn't it? You know, Solomon was so blessed, if you study his life, that they basically had to throw out all the silver because he was so blessed in gold. That's blessed, isn't it? They threw the silver out because he was so blessed. He was a very wealthy man. Look at Google up Solomon. You know, he was a very richest man. You know, I believe they say he's the richest man ever. And you think about that today. He was a good Bible believing man. You know, of course he had his challenges and things he had. But think about that today. You know, God wants you blessed. You know, Abraham, if you look at his life, he says that he blessed him and he was rich in every area. God wants you to be blessed beyond your ability to believe him for. He wants you to have more than what you need. You know, there's a scripture that talks about in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter there, that basically it blow your mind if you think about all how good he wants to be to you. He wants to do some stuff that will blow your mind in your life way better than what you can comprehend or think. That's the way God is. And he thinks big. He doesn't think small about you or your circumstances. He's a big thinking God. And sometimes it takes a little bit for us to get a hold of it because it's like, wow, he wants to do some big things in my life. You know, he doesn't settle for less than the best. He wants the best. He wants the good things. He does everything big. Think about that. You know, when you get to heaven, the Bible says the streets are gold. He does things big. He doesn't think small. You know, he thinks in a big way about everything. He does everything big. He has the gates are of pearl. Just one big pearl there for the gates. You know, think about that. You know, he wants you to think big. He thinks big about everything. And he wants you to have more than what you need to have here. And some more definitions here in the Greek for it. It says superabundant or superior by implication, excessive. He wants you to have an excessive life. He wants you to have more than what you need, and he wants it to be excessive, exceedingly abundantly above, abundantly and exceedingly very high beyond measure, more superfluous and vehement. And then one definition says beyond measure, superfluous. Wow, think about that today, exceedingly and abundantly. So God wants you to have super abundance in every area of your life. You know, he didn't just give you peace. No, he gives you peace that passes all understanding. That's his character. He gives you more than what you need. He doesn't just give you favor. No, he gives you more favor than what you need. He doesn't just give you grace, you know, and favor. He gives you way more than what you need. That's the way the Father is, you know, and he doesn't just give you rest. You know, some of you may need some rest right now. He didn't just give you rest. He gives you way more rest than what you need. He gives us sweet sleep is what the Bible says. He wants you to have sweet sleep and rest. Some of you may not have had no rest in a while. He wants you to have sweet sleep is what the Bible says. That's good sleep. That's not normal sleep. That's superabundance of sleep. And so he's a God of abundance. He came to give us life, and he came to give it to us more abundantly. Well, we're going to get it. Let's go over to Luke 5 real quick. Luke 5. And we talked about that he's a liberal giving God too. And we gave that definition for liberal in James, the first chapter there. It means bountiful. So, and he's talking about he gives liberally wisdom. And when it comes to wisdom, he gives it to you bountifully. Why? Because that's his character. Everything God gives you, he wants it to be more than what you need to have. He wants you to have more wisdom than what you need to have, more stuff than you need to have. Why? So you can be a blessing to someone else. Think about that. He showed that we talked about last week with the loaves and the fishes, right? The kid shows up. He's got his Long John Silver's meal there, you know, and he's got his fish and he's got his bread, you know, and then God multiplies it, his fish and his bread, to bless others. But then they had 12 baskets left over. Why would he leave 12 baskets left over? Well, so he could be a blessing to someone else, right? And that shows his character. That's why he wants you to have more than what you need to have, you know. He's not worried about excessiveness. He's not worried about you having too much. But it's good to have too much so you can be a blessing to someone else, right? Luke 5, let's go over to Luke 5 real quick. Luke 5 says it like this, and it came to pass, and then we're in the first verse here. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed on to hear him, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So these guys, they've worked all day. They've done all their work, and they're tired. They're coming home, you know, and didn't have a good day. They're washing their nets, and they're heading home, you know. Think about that today. You ever had a challenging day, you know, it didn't quite as good as you wish it had been, you know. But when Jesus shows up, he can fix the situation if you're seeking him, you know. And these gentlemen, they're coming home. They clean their nets. They've already had a full day, and they weren't successful. We know that. We're about to see here, you know. But God helps them to be successful in this. Look at the third verse. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, and Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So he's like, he's getting pressed with people, Jesus is, from teaching. You know, probably thousands of people. He liked to teach to big crowds, and he's getting pressed upon. So he's like, can I borrow your boat for just a little bit? If I can borrow your boat, then, you know, I can keep on teaching. I'm getting pressed upon here. And he gets in his boat. I'm sure he's like, he didn't want to let him borrow his boat. He's ready to go home. He's already had a full day, right? But he lets him borrow his boat. Aren't you glad that Simon let him borrow his boat? He let him borrow his boat. And then he entered into one of the ships, and Simon prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So Simon gave his boat, and Jesus gave him some instructions. You know, it's amazing if you'll give God something to work with, he'll give you some instructions, you know. Think about that today. You know, if you just give him anything, give him something to work with, start listening for the instructions. And that's exactly what he did here. He gave him some instructions. He said, now notice he didn't just, and that was another whole other message there, you know, but to get in your harvest, when you give Jesus something, you give God something, then you need to be listening for the instructions. You know, there is a time to harvest, right? And so it's important that you're listening for the instruction. In the fourth verse, he says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night. So he'd been working all night long. He'd been working on, you know, his job and working all night long, wasn't successful, you know. If you have a personal business, you know, sometimes you can really understand this. My father had lots of his own businesses, you know. And, you know, some days were really good days. He'd sell lots of sandwiches because he had a sandwich business, you know. And then some days he didn't sell a whole bunch of sandwiches, you know. And those days when you don't sell as many sandwiches, you're looking at the next day what you got to pay. And, you know, and it is stressful, you know. He's, you know, I'm sure Simon's thinking about his family and thinking about the things that are going on around him, what he's got to deal with when he gets home. Yeah, he's saying, I don't have time for this to go launch out there. I've already had to listen to you do a message out of the boat, you know. But thank goodness he did. He launched out into the deep and let down his nets for a drought. And when Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. You know, this is really interesting because, you know, of course, he didn't just give him a little bit. He overflowed him. His net broke. That's how God is. He's a God of too much. You know, he could have gave him just enough for it to stay in the net, not break the net. You know, God knows how much he gave him, but he gave him enough to, and it broke his net. Think about that today, you know. He let it overflow, and that's the way God is. But, of course, Simon here, you know, he was tired. He could have said, I'm not going to go do this. I mean, I'm tired right now. I don't feel like it. You know, maybe God's asking you to go do some things, and you may be tired and don't feel like it. You know, maybe he's saying, go check out this house, you know, or go check out this land, or go check out something, you know. Maybe he's saying, you know, if you're needing healing, maybe he's saying, act like you're healed. Go do something that you wouldn't normally do before. You know, you can't be too tired listening to his instructions. That's where the answer's at. And it's important to be listening to God's answers or his instructions when you're seeking the things that he wants you to have. He's too much. And he might ask you to do something in the middle of the night. He might ask you to do something in the morning. But we need to be listening to his instructions. They're so important in getting the things that you need from him. And Simon said unto him, he enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners. You know, their net's breaking here. You know, they got too much. And the fish are going out. They're losing their fish because it's just overflowing. You know, and then he beckoned to his partners, which were out there. And they came over from another ship to him. And they came and they filled both boats with ships. Where they filled both boats with fish. Think about that. They're filling both boats up with fish. And so they began to sink. So it wasn't so much that it just broke the net. It wasn't so much that it just filled the boats. He gave them so much, and nearly took down both boats. He's a too much God. He wants it to overflow, right? He could have gave them just enough just to fill the net. He could have given them just enough to top off the boat. But no, that's not his character. God does it to the overflow. That's the way God does things. He wanted it to overflow in their lives. The eighth verse says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, when you see God's overflow, it convicts the world of sin. I mean, it makes you look at it and go, wow, only God could do this, right? It convicts people. It gives them a reverence for God when they see how good he's being to you in your life. The ninth verse is, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the drought of the fishes that they had taken in. So why didn't he stop it at the boat, at the top of the boat? Or why didn't he stop it at the top of the net? Well, that's who he is. He likes it to overflow. God likes you to overflow in every area of your life, right? Go over to Psalm 23. Let's look at that real quick. You say, well, Jeremiah, he doesn't want to do that for me. Yeah, he wants to do that for you. He wants you to have more than what you need to have in every area of your life. He didn't just get you saved, right? If you look up the word saved, it made you whole. He gave you everything you needed in this salvation, in this life. More than what you need. He gave you authority, righteousness. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He saved you from all your sins. He gives you too much. He's a good, good, good Father. And he wants you to have way more than what you need in every area of your life. Psalm 23, let's look at that real quick. Psalm 23, it says, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Does that sound like a God just gives you a little bit? He didn't say, I'm the Lord is my shepherd, I get a little today. He didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd. You're just going to get barely just enough to meet your needs. No, that's not how he said it. Matter of fact, it was been prophesied this year through the prophet Jerry Seville. He says that it's going to be the God's open hand of his bountiful blessings this year. You know, bountiful. That just sounds like him, doesn't it? Doesn't it just in your spirit, doesn't that sound right when you look at the scriptures? That's who he is. He's bountiful. And he wants you to have way more than what you need to be a blessing to you. We were looking at last week, you know, when the manna came down, you know, and he gave them so much that they were like, man, let's take some of this in for the next day. And, you know, he gave them, didn't he know that that would be just give them too much of what they needed? You know, there was extra to bring inside. And if they didn't bring it inside, it was going to go bad that day. Why would he do that? You don't think God knows how much a person needs? But he gave them way more than what they need. And then he wasn't even worried about it. It was going to go bad overnight. And so why wasn't he worried? Because he's going to rain down more the next day. He always keeps it full. He always makes sure you have what you need. You know, I remember we go to this restaurant, me and my family, you know, it's called Ted's Escondido. And we like to go there and get some food there at the Ted Escondido. But it's interesting, though, because it's kind of loud. But, they keep your cup full. Every time you turn around, they keep your cup full, you know. And it's almost like to an annoyance because they don't even like it to get down an inch, you know. I mean, man, you're drinking that. And it's a pretty good glass, you know. I get a big cup of tea. And, I mean, man, it'll be full before I know it, all the way fill back up, you know. And me and my son will kind of laugh about it because they're back over there to fill that thing up so fast, you know. They want you to have good customer service, you know. Now, I've been some places, you know, that they don't always keep my cup full, you know, and I'm waving. I'm like, please, man, come on, make sure that you fill my cup, you know. But, boy, I mean, you go to Ted Escondido's, though, the one up here in Edmond that we go to off of Danforth here, you know. And I mean, they will fill that. They make sure that cup's full, man. I mean, you don't even have to ask them. They're going to be there. They're going to make sure your cup's full. Now, a lot of places, I'll even get a big old cup of water because I know that they're not always going to fill up my glass like it should, you know. I'm making sure that I have a backup cup, you know, because I want to make sure I got something to drink. You don't want to be in the middle of your food and you don't have something to drink, you know. But, I mean, they never let my cup run out at Ted's, you know. Isn't that the way the Father is? He never lets your cup run out. He always makes sure it's full. It may come some way that you might not expect it. It might show up some different way that you may not see it coming. But he makes sure your cup is full. And he wants you to have way more than what you need to have. But he always makes sure your cup's full. You know, what does that scripture say? He doesn't make my seed or never begging for bread, right? I mean, he always keeps your cup full. He wants you to make sure that you have what you need to have. And more, so you can be a blessing. Well, that's what it says here in Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want. He didn't just want you to have a full cup. He wants you to have everything you need to have, more than what you need to have. You know, I told this story last week. Maybe the Lord's want me to repeat some of these things, but I'll never forget. You know, I was at the house, you know, and we were youth pastors, and the guy shows up with a golden ticket from a restaurant they just opened there called Cracker Barrel, you know, and I was so excited, you know. He said you could eat all you want. He just advertised in the restaurant, so he's going to let us come eat for free, want us to try their food, so we'd be back, you know. And we went there, me and my wife, you know, we were youth pastors, weren't getting paid a whole lot, you know, at the time, you know, and we were new into the ministry, you know. And I'll never forget, we got out there, we went, I mean, I got plates all over the place, you know. I'm hungry, man, you know. I'm you know, doing the best I can to survive there, you know, trusting the Lord, you know, using my faith. And, you know, we had biscuits everywhere and everything you could think of, just plates everywhere, too much stuff to eat, you know. And God wants you to be in that state all the time. He wants you to have too much in every area of your life, you know. He wants you to have too much peace. Too much joy. Maybe you haven't had enough joy today. He wants you to have more joy than what you need to have. Reach over and get you a plate of joy and a cup of joy. He wants you to have more peace than what you need to have. The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want. He wants you to not want in any area of your life. You know, maybe today you're saying, well, I've been wanting in a lot of areas, Jeremiah. Well, that's okay. He's going to help you so that you don't want in every area of your life. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, he's working you that way. I didn't say we've all arrived But he wants you to have more than what you need to have because he's a good, good father. Listen to the second verse here. He says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, he doesn't just lead you beside waters. He leads you beside still waters. You know, makes me think of those pure waters, you know, that you get from the store, you know, pure water. Right? And he wants you to have good, refreshing water today. And he wants you to be refreshed in the areas that you need to be in fresh today. You maybe need to get refreshed in his presence today, in the good, cool waters of his spirit today, you know. He wants you to be refreshed so you can get through this week and next week and the week after. Let him come to his cool, fresh waters. He restoreth my soul. Think about that today, you know. Maybe your soul isn't where you want it to be, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you know. But he restores them, you know. He wants your soul to be restored, thinking good thoughts, and he wants to have good imagination, seeing yourself doing big dreams. He wants to restore your soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, God has some good paths. There's a scripture that says he has paths prearranged and picked for you. One translation says, live in the good life. He has some good paths, and this is one of those good paths. He wants you to go down that path, live in the good life that he has for you. You say, well, Jeremiah, he has a path like that. Yes, he does. He has a path of a good life for you. That's what the scripture says. Maybe you don't feel like it today. Maybe you're not seeing it today. Maybe you need to see it like he sees it. He sees you being in a good path, and you have to see him getting the direction to you that you need to have. The fourth verse is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, the scripture says that he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think about that today. We aren't the ones to be fearing. No, we don't even have that kind of spirit. We have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Isn't that good to think about? You don't have a weak mind. You're not a weak-minded person. You're a Christian. And God gave you a sound mind. Think about that today, you know, and not fear. He gave you a spirit of power and of love. Think about that. Love and power. You're a powerful Christian today because of Jesus. And you haven't got that spirit of fear. You know, it should be casting out all that with his power and his love and the sound mind in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. For thou art with me. Oh, that's good when you think about it. He's with you. Maybe today, you know, you don't think he's with you, but he said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're never alone wherever you're at in the world, wherever you're listening to this message. You're not alone. He never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. Maybe you don't feel him. I don't feel him right now. That's okay. He doesn't mean, but the Bible says he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. You know, God can be everywhere at one time. He's right there where you're at. He's right there where I'm at. He's right where everybody's at because he's a God can be everywhere at one time. You know, the devil can't do that. He can't be everywhere at one time, you know. But God can be everywhere at one time. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He don't even sleep. Did you know that? The scripture says he doesn't sleep or slumber. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. He stays up all night with you. He's there in the morning when you get up. Think about that today. He's a God that's there with you. He wouldn't make you go through this life alone. He created you, and he made you in his image, and he wants to be with you because he's with you today. He loves you, right? That rod and that staff, they comfort me. He gives you comfort. He's not only just with you, he's there to give you comfort. You're not alone when God's with you. You've got all the comfort in the world. He don't just give you a little bit of comfort. Aren't you glad about that? You know, some people go get comfort. They even got a vodka or some kind of alcoholic drink called, I believe it's Southern Comfort, you know. They think they're going to get comfort from a bottle of vodka, you know. No, real comfort comes from God. And he can come and give you comfort. You can be comfortable in some of the craziest situations because he can bring the best comfort in the world, right? I've been in some crazy situations, but I can be comfortable because I have the grace of God to help me in that situation. You know, I've been in some really challenging things emotionally and physically. You know, I've been in some all kinds of circumstances over my life. I remember working in a warehouse and in like 100 degrees, you know, but yet I still had a vision and a dream, you know, but yet I could have comfort and grace, you know, in that circumstance, you know. Think about that today. He can give you comfort in some of the craziest places because he's a good God and he has unlimited grace to help you through the circumstances that you're facing today. And then in the fifth verse is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about that. He stretches out a table and he lays everything there for you that you need to come through the circumstances. You know, maybe you need some encouragement. Just reach over and get you some encouragement. You know, maybe you need some joy. Reach over and get you a cup of joy. Whatever you need today, he can help you through the circumstances because he's too much. He just spreads a table out for you. He didn't just stop and McDonald's and give you two little cheeseburgers. No, he spreads a table out before you, and he puts everything you need on the table because he's a good father. He wants you to have more than what you need to have. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Think about that today. He pours the oil all over you. It used to oil up the people. You know, if you listen to my anointing series, you know, I talk about how I heard someone talking about how they would anoint people and they would cover them with oil so that each time that they would reach out to grab them in a fight, you know, or in a battle, they couldn't grab them because all the oil on them, you know. And God wants you to have a good, fresh oil on you, you know. Good oil all over you so that your enemy can't grab you. So you work better in your circumstances, right? Gives you fresh oil for favor, fresh oil for, you know, to get through the circumstances. You know, favor pulls the resources that you need. Favor works out all your circumstances. You know, fresh oil, he'll give it right to you in the present. You know, that's got to be intimidating to the devil when he looks over there and he sees you're getting fresh oil. He's like, oh, man, you know, he's got the grace to come through. He's got the favor to pull the resources. He's got everything he needs to have to get through this challenge, you know, right in front of their enemies. That's what God does. He'll do it right in front of the enemies, pour that oil on you. And anoints it. And he says, my cup runneth over. But that's his character, right? It runs over. Everything in your life runs over. God wants everything to run over in your life. He didn't want you just to have a little bit or just a tad. No, he wants you to have more than what you need to have in your circumstances. You know, if you're settling for less than the best, you're settling for less than what God wants you to have in your circumstances. And that's what happens so much. You know, we settle for less than God's best. You know, God blesses you with something and you think, well, that's it. That's all I'm going to get. No, God wants you to have more than what you need to have in your circumstances. Let me get another drink here. More than what you need to have. Say it with me. More than what I need to have in my circumstances. More grace. More joy. More stuff so I can be a blessing to someone else. He wants you to have more than what you need to have in your circumstances. That's who he is. That's who God is. That's how he does things. Remember, we talked about Peter. His nets broke. The boats went down, so many fishes. That's what he wants you to have too much so you can be a blessing to someone else. That's what he gave that little kid with the fishes and bread, 12 baskets. Think about that today. And that was just the overflow from what he did in the first place, you know. And out of your overflow, you're supposed to be able to be a blessing to someone else. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, that right there is the most exciting thing in the world. His goodness is chasing me. His mercy is chasing me every day. You know, I get up in the morning, his goodness is chasing me. His mercy's chasing me. I can't hide from it. His goodness and mercy's chasing me all over the place. And that's what he's doing for you. Some of you that aren't saved, who listen to this message, his goodness and his mercy's chasing you. He's a good God. His goodness and mercy is chasing you there. You may be drinking today, and you may be doing too many drugs today. You know, God's goodness and mercy is coming to get you because he wants you to be full and overflowing with him in your life so that you can have everything that you need to have in your life. He's a good father. And he wants you to have the things that are filling that empty void in your heart and in your mind. He wants you to have way too much. He's a too much God, and he wants to bless you. And he'll let you dwell in his house forever, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you think about that today, you know. My kids, you know, my son, he's moved out now, you know, my oldest son, and he had a key to the house. You know, my other one's 13, so he's not quite there with the key yet because he's still with us more, you know, but we give him a key to the house. He can come in anytime he wants, you know, and he can walk in. He can get anything out of the refrigerator he wants. Why? Because he's in right standing with me, right? And he's my kid. He's part of my family. He's my son, right? And so he can come in. He can do whatever he wants when he comes in, watch my TV, hang out, you know, spend time with his mama, spend time with his brother, spend time with me. You know, he can come in. He don't have to knock. He's part of the family, you know. And we're supposed to be coming into the house of the Lord anytime we want to come in there, you know. We just come in there. We're part of the family. We can just pull up a table, sit and pull up a chair at the table, hang out with Jesus. We can pull up a chair at the table, hang out with God, spend time. We're part of the family. He said that he adopted us as sons into the family. That's what the Bible says, right? We cry out, Abba, Father, because he's our Father. We're part of the family. He said we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where I want to be forever, in his presence, where there's fullness of joy and overflowing of everything I need. You know, some people act like God just gives you barely enough, and he just gives you just enough to get through circumstances, but that's not my God. My God gives you more than what you need so you can come through any circumstance that you need to have. Let's look over 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, 2 Kings. The 4th chapter, the 1st verse, here's a woman that learned that God was more than enough in her life. It says here in the 1st verse, it says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Think about that today. Is God asking you that question today? What shall I do for you? You know, the Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Have you asked him for help in your circumstances? Have you asked him to work out the circumstances for you? Are you still trying to do it yourself, you know? We have not because we ask not. You know, he doesn't force anything upon you. He didn't force you to get saved. He didn't force you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He didn't force you, you know, to grow spiritually. He didn't force you to, you know, he didn't force you to do anything in this life, you know. He didn't fix everything for you without you wanting it to be fixed. We have not because we ask not. Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thine house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now she's looking at everything she had, and she saw this one thing in the house that she had any kind of value in, this pot of oil, which she didn't act like it was a whole lot. Before she even mentioned the pot of oil, she said, There's not anything in the house. No value for this pot of oil. But Elisha saw value in what she had. And you know, God sees value in what you have. You'd be surprised, you know, what you have. He doesn't leave you without any kind of resource. No, he says he gives seed to the sower. He gives you what you need in every circumstance. It's what you do with what you need, what you have, is what causes good things to happen in your life. You have to be a person that sees the value of a seed. You know, and there is value in any kind of seed. If it's being nice to somebody or encouraging to somebody, showing love to someone, you don't realize that seed's going to produce probably 100-fold. It's going to produce good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over like God does things. He wants to run it over in your life. But, you know, you have to value a seed. And he said, Go borrow these vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. He saw that oil, he saw that it was going to overflow in her life. Think about that today, you know, and Jesus sees things that you don't even see about you. He sees, you know, abundance about you. He sees good things going to happen for you. He sees that he can fix it if you'll just let him fix it, you know. I was listening to somebody the other day. It was really good. He was talking about how he could go and fix his car if the engine was bad. He could pull it all apart. As a matter of fact, I seen this one time with my cousins, you know. I never forget. He was out there. He had a truck. They had a lot of land, you know. And you'll see where I'm going with this in just a moment. But basically, he had a truck, and he threw a rope over this limb, and he pulled the engine out of the truck. He pulled all the parts apart because he wanted to put a new engine in it or rebuild it. I can't remember exactly what he did with it, but he wanted to fix the engine of this vehicle, you know. And he had little baggies. He's naming every part. I mean, man, when I was looking out there, he had parts all over the ground out there, you know, everywhere, naming the parts. You know, a professional, he probably see that part and go, oh man, that's the one that goes here, and this is the part that goes there, and this part goes over here, you know. But because he's a professional, he's used to the parts, he does it every day, he's going to do it right because he's a professional, you know. And he's laying it out, get all these parts. He's even got the rope pulling the engine out, you know, over a limb. A professional, you know, they have one of those, like, those crane type things, pulls the engine out, you know, and then they put it back in, you know. But he's a professional. He's going to do it right. You know, when you get to doing things, you may not do it right, you know, and it may take a whole lot longer because, you know, you're not somebody that's a professional in this, you know. Elijah shows up and he knows the professional, you know, and God's a professional. He knows exactly how to fix your situation a whole lot easier than you need to fix it. He knows how to make it right so much easier and quicker than if you'll take it to him, you know, and he'll make it work better than it ever did before because he's a professional, you know. He's going to make sure it works better than it ever did before in your circumstances, but you got to listen to somebody that does this all the time. See, God does this all the time. He's fixing situations right now, the people I'm listening to right now. He's a professional. He's fixing the healing right there. He's fixing a circumstance right there. He's fixing a situation that you think can't be fixed. He can do it more than a million. He's a more than a million ways. He's a professional. He does this all the time. He's everywhere at one time. He's fixing somebody's situation across the world. He's fixing the situation to somebody listening right here on this podcast. You know, he's a professional. He does it all the time. You know, and we need to go take things to the professional rather than trying to fix them ourselves, you know. This woman had enough sense to go to Elisha, who knew the professional, right? And she had enough sense to get to the professional so he could fix it for her. You know, God knows exactly how to fix it. Matter of fact, he says the Holy Spirit's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our help. He's our standby. He's the professional to fix your situation if you let him fix it for you, praise the Lord. Then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors and empty vessels, borrow not a few. He said, don't get just one of them. Don't get two of them. He says, go get as many vessels as you possibly can. Think about that. He knows who he's working for. He knows how God is. Think about this now. He knows the character of God. You know, he must know him pretty good, and because it happens exactly like he says it's going to happen. But he knows he's a God of abundance, of overflowing, to give you more than enough. He's been with God for some time now, and he knows this is how God does things. You know, and if you've been with God for some time now, you see that's how God does things. He blesses you. He doesn't just bless you in a little way. He does it more than what you need to have. So he says, borrow not a few. Get more than what you need to have. The fourth verse is, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and on her sons, who brought the vessels to her, she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. So she's pouring into one and it's filling up, pouring into another, it's filling up, pouring into another, it's filling up. Heard a gentleman talking about this, you know, she just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, you know. Think about that today. You know, I was talking to you about the cup of tea, how the lady just kept the tea full all the time. Pouring, and poor. So I can't drink no more. Right? I can't. I even leave sometimes a cup of tea at that place, you know, because I've had so much tea, I can't take no more, you know. And that's the way God wants you to have. He's poured and poured until she, man, she's got all the vessels she can have, she can do. Her kids have borrowed all the vessels that they can possibly have, and they're all full, and they can't even borrow another one. And she's turned to her kid, don't we have some more? He's given her so much that she wishes she had more vessels. Think about that today. God wants you to have more than what you need to have. She could have kept pouring because he's too much, and the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So she had more than pay the debt. And she had more than what she knew for her circumstances, and she was able to live on the rest. You know, and God does that. He gives you more than what you need for your circumstances and enough to live upon the rest. He's a good God, and he wants you to have more than what you need to have today. Praise the Lord. And he's looking at you. He's looking at how he can help you. Are you listening to his instructions? Are you listening to how he wants to guide you in your life? He's giving you instructions. He's not a God that hides things from us. He's always trying to give us good advice, a good direction with our lives. And it may be something small. It may be something you may not even think is that big. I mean, she probably didn't think that vessel was a big deal. But boy, when she got done filling up all those vessels, she realized it was quite a deal. And some of you, he's going to make you quite a deal when you get done doing what he's asked you to do. He's a good father. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy today, Father. And Father, we ask that you help us to see that you're a God that's more than enough, too much for our circumstances, too much for every need that we have in our lives, Father. And Father, help us to see that you're not holding back. It doesn't matter if something goes up or price of something else goes up. Father, we'll always have too much. You always keep the glass full and running over. We always have more than what we need. You're a good Father. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you don't know Jesus is too much God, he wants to be that for you. And you know, you can just pray this prayer with me. The Bible says in Romans, the 10th chapter, 9th and 10th verse, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe God has risen Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved today. Do you want to be saved? Well, you can pray this prayer with me and just pray it after me. The Bible says, it says, if you confess those things and believe God's risen him from the dead, you shall be saved. So let's pray. Father, we just believe, Father, that you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, we confess Jesus as Lord of our lives right now. Jesus, be Lord of our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. We just thank you, Father. If you pray that prayer, email me here at Jeremiah S. Ministries. I'd love to hear from you. Put it in the comments. I'll take a couple minutes here to look in the comments, see if you have a praise report, if you need prayer for something today. And we want to be there for you. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. Look forward to hearing from you Sunday. Come and be in the chat. Come pray with us there. God bless you. You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to JeremiahSmithMinistries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.